You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call. As tonight, your Indiana Hoosiers opened up Big Ten play with a 12-point victory over the Maryland Terrapins, 65-53, in a game where Indiana jumped out and took an early lead and really never looked back, was able to keep distance between themselves and Maryland for the entire night, actually pushed it up past 20 in the second half and survived a bout of sloppy play there toward the end of the game to still end up with a 12-point victory that moves the Hoosiers to 6-1 overall in the season, 1-0 in conference play, and really for the first time all season showed us an extended run of basketball that is kind of what it's supposed to look like and what we've been hoping to see from this team, both in terms of execution and cohesion and effort. Just a lot of things went right tonight for Indiana, even with Xavier Johnson out of the lineup and even with Malik Renew only getting to play 19 minutes because of foul trouble. You couldn't really ask for anything more given the circumstances for Indiana's Big Ten opener. I'm your host, Jared Morris, here with Ryan Phillips. We are going to be joined later on by Coach Tonsoni from Simon Scott Assembly Hall and special guest Miller Kopp, who should be here in a little while as well. That is we're all going to be here for you to talk about the game on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment tonight, I'm going to go back to the second half when it was 61-49. Indiana had that 20-plus point lead, but Maryland was on an 11-0 run. And, you know, things felt a little tenuous there. And Harris Smith had a three-pointer that would have cut the lead under 10. He missed it. Khalil Ware skies for a tough rebound in traffic, then goes on the other end, hits a little jumper, makes it 63-49. On the ensuing defensive possession, Trey Galloway forced a turnover on the sideline, and really that ended any hope that Maryland had of making a comeback. Indiana was up 63-49 and cruised to the victory from that point forward. But it was just another terrific game for Khalil Ware. And what made this one different and more important than any of the other big games he's had so far this season is he was going up against a legit Big Ten big man on the other team in Julian Reese. You know, Khalil has had a very nice start this year, but a lot of that has been against overmatched teams. And in his one game against, you know, a team with another good big man, UConn and Donovan Klingon, he struggled. So I was really wondering, okay, how would Khalil play tonight? And he rose to the occasion. 18 points, 14 rebounds, an assist, a block. And really, you know, with Malik Renew on the bench, kind of helped to serve that role of the offense running through him and helping to settle everybody down. It really just felt like one of those games where the team just played better with Khalil on the court, and his team leading plus minus was certainly indicative of that. So excellent night for Khalil Ware in the 12-point victory for the Hoosiers. All right, with that said, let's talk now about our presenting sponsor. That's right, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their seventh season sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their third as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. Home Field, as you know, has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And since IU is their flagship school, we get all the good stuff first. So when they come out with the snapback hats or the bomber jackets or whatever it is, it's always IU first, and that's why it's a good idea to follow them on social, subscribe to the email alerts, subscribe to the text alerts, the app, because not only do you get notified when they're going to be releasing that stuff, you also get special deals too, and they'll send these flash sales so you can save money, and that's especially important right now. It's December, Christmas season is coming up, and Home Field Apparel really can be your one-stop shop to knock out everybody on your Christmas list, because they have something for everybody. Say that you want to support James Madison in their upcoming bowl game for some reason. They have a James Madison collection there. Any other school you want. Say you want to support the Washington Huskies. They've got Washington Huskies stuff. So no matter who you're shopping for, you can go to Home Field Apparel, probably find some gear or something to wear that people are going to be interested in, whether it's a crew neck, a hoodie, a t-shirt. They have it all. We love supporting them. We appreciate their support over the years. And so you should go to homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code HOME23 and you will get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME23 for 15% off. Once again, the website homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All righty. Well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And we will start with Ryan. Ryan, not much to rant about after a 12-point victory.
They relaxed at the end a little, but that happens when you get a big lead. And especially when you have a big lead this early in the season, you're not, it's almost a what do I do with my hands kind of thing. You know, you don't know how to deal with having a big lead. So they kind of relaxed a bit late. And given the amount of young guys on the team, I kind of expected that. And I expected that at the end of the first half, too, and they kind of stamped it out. They started to sort of lose it a little. And you're like, don't have a lull at the end of the first half and let Maryland think they have a chance. And they didn't. But even in that struggle towards the end, Maryland didn't have a field goal in the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the game. You know, they're coming back at the free throw line. So, yeah. But I think while you're right, Khalil Ware is really a big part of this story. I think the story of the game for me was Trey Galloway. And I was real hard on Galloway and just the backcourt in general, earlier this week, and said that, look, they weren't leading. You know, that maybe that's off court and the things they're saying and encouraging guys and stuff, they're maybe doing providing great leadership. But on the court, the front court was leading, and it was the younger guys that were leading the way. Renew, Khalil Ware, even at times Peyton Sparks with his energy and things like that. Trey Galloway was the team leader tonight. He scored 12 points, grabbed 6 boards, 6 assists. 3 of those rebounds were offensive, and you don't expect that from Trey Galloway. And then, you know, had a block in there as well. He had one. I think they gave him a rebound, but it looked like a steal where he came in from behind and took the ball from a guy. And he was plus 20, and he led the team in minutes. I mean, I thought he was fantastic, and this is exactly what you were hoping Trey Galloway would be in his senior season. You'd love to have seen him hit the three, hit more threes and hit the three he took tonight. You'd love to see him make those 2 free throws, please, Trey. But other than that, I thought he was the story of the game. His play jumped up considerably. He didn't lead the team in scoring, didn't lead the team in rebounding, but it felt like the game was running through him. And he had some hiccups, you know, against the press a couple times midway through the second half. And he's not a primary ball handler, so as long as he can limit those, you feel good. But all in all, I thought Galloway was the story tonight, and I thought that his play elevated everybody else around him.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and again, I mean, that was the other big storyline coming into the game is, you know, we talked on Assembly Call Radio how we didn't expect Xavier Johnson to play in this game. Right. He did not. Frankly, we don't expect him back for a little while. Now, you know, he's officially day-to-day, and we will see. But, you know, it was absolutely huge for Indiana to have Trey Galloway step up in Xavier Johnson's absence. And since we just did Ryan's opening statement, this is a good opportunity to bring our guest in here, Miller Kopp,
there
ladies
he is.
And gentlemen, here joining us, his first appearance on the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Miller, your opening thoughts on that Indiana victory?
Good game, good win. Good win. Shout out to, I believe, I'm just my guess, I don't know, but Kenya Hunter, the scout. It was pretty clear that he knew basically everything that they were doing offensively, especially in the half court. You could tell he was talking a lot. He was up out of his chair a lot. His out of chair time was more than the other assistant coaches, so that's my guess that it was his scout. Yeah, shout out to Kenya Hunter. It was pretty clear they knew everything that was going on, which helped, I think, defensively, because it was pretty the guys were pretty connected defensively. Obviously, you know, Maryland didn't score much. It reflected in the score, but I thought they played really hard. That's my biggest thing. It's like they just played their butts off. Like they played their asses off. And that's what I love to see, because that translates, and that's something you can continue to, you know, carry over, because shots, makes or misses, like that's just part of the game. But if you can translate playing hard and just playing scrappy, then that's awesome. So that was really good to see for me on my end, because it looked like guys were more connected, were playing super hard for each other. So I thought that was good.
You know, I agree with you. And this team has played hard in spurts this season, but not to the level that we saw tonight. To what do you attribute that? Is that just having a true Assembly Hall atmosphere? Is that guys rallying without X out there? Like, what do you think causes that?
I think it's probably a mix of everything, but I'd probably say that you know, when you get into Big Ten play, you know, obviously the other games have mattered. But this, it has a different feel to it. I remember my first Big Ten game. it was actually at Assembly Hall, and I was nervous as ever. Like I was, but
I can imagine.
but you go into those games with a different sense of like seriousness or readiness. And, you know, whether it's, you know, it usually starts like 3 days, 4 days before, you know, you're getting, you know, handed papers about different guys and, you know, their stats and their strengths and weaknesses and stuff. Like you're getting loaded with every piece of information that you could imagine. So, you know, going into the game, you feel like, you know, these guys and you've seen all their buckets, all their best plays, all their, you know, whatever. And so you're going into the game feeling like, you know, them, and it's like, means that much more. Cause it does, you know, cause every win in, you know, Big Ten play is big. And it's just the energy is so, it's a different type of intensity in the gym, in practices, in the film room, and all that stuff, just going into, you know, Big Ten play. Cause you want to start 1-0. You don't want to start 0-1.
Miller, they got off to a great start tonight. Do you think that's really important in a game, like you said, of all that intensity, to just kind of settle you down and feel confident about things? Because they really jumped them early, and it looked like Maryland was, you know, deer in headlights for most of the first half.
Yeah, well, I feel like it gives you confidence as a team. You know, even guys coming off the bench, like, oh, like we're hot now. Like if somebody's hot, like we're all hot, right? And so, you know, you come into the game, whether it's off the bench or, you know, out of a timeout, like you feel that much better, that much faster, that much more connected when you start the game like that, because you've thrown the first punch. You know, that's always like, so you want to set the tone. That was something that like we always like try to emphasize, is like we want to set the tone, whether it's with our first play, you know, which you saw tonight, is like the first play can set a tone on offense, but also on defense. And so they did that. And, you know, it also takes away the any momentum that the other team can have, you know, because you don't want to give them anything to draw on later in the game.
Yeah. So obviously X, you know, missed this game, and you guys had to play a good portion of last season without him on the court as well. What are some of the things that the team really misses when X is out? And then what did you see from Trey Galloway tonight that was different? Because he attacked this game in a different way, really probably than we've seen since the first game of the year against Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, well, I'm proud of him, man. He's been working his tail off, and he's been so hungry to be coached, I think, and not just be coached, but like hungry to get better, like on and off the floor. And he's, you know, I know he's worked a bunch with the coaches and just the staff and in general. Is like I think he picked up the area where X is, you know, one of his biggest strengths is with his pace. And that's what Gallo like picked up tonight is like, he just played fast. Like when he got the ball, he was, you know, full head of steam, getting downhill, like getting to the rim, you know, putting pressure
on
the
rim. Attacking. Yeah.
To make the call. Yeah. He was attacking. He was, you know, obviously getting downhill towards the rim, which is, you know, when he's at his best and when he, you know, really can, you know, play in the open court. So
let me ask you this. You know, Indiana wins by 12, which is obviously awesome. And they do so only taking 9 threes and only making 3.
He knew this question was coming.
It was a big talking point last year, and it's been even more of a talking point this year.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, when you're watching a game like this, as the shooter that you are, what are you thinking when, you know, the three-point shot just hasn't really been a feature of this offense and didn't hurt Indiana tonight? Obviously, the big guys were scoring inside and the big guys were the ones making three-pointers. But I'm just curious what you think when you're watching Indiana play and it's not a part of the offense, and when the guys are getting them, you know, they're missing the shots.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, because there's certain parts of the game to where, you know, for example, tonight, like Maryland would have absolutely loved for a team to just, not just Indiana, any team just to chunk up threes, right? They want to junk up the game. They want to play in transition and, you know, not have to play in the half court and all that stuff. So like, that's what they would have wanted, right? So that would have been their plan A. Their plan B on defense would have been, like, I guess if they have to play inside, then we'll try to figure it out that way. And Indiana did that. I think a lot of the lack of threes that have been taken, I think a lot of it is spacing and moving off the ball. That's the biggest thing. I think, guys, I was told my freshman year by a coach, I had the same problem, and a lot of it happens with younger guys and newer guys, is like you get paralyzed by the ball when you don't have it. So, like, if you're playing off the ball, you're watching, right? So you shouldn't be just a bystander watching. You should be trying to find a gap, trying to find a corner to get in, you know. And I think that's the biggest thing, is like, you know, they're doing a good job of taking the right ones. That's the biggest thing. And so now it's like, okay, how do we get more of the right ones? So, you know, as the season goes on, we take more of them, but more of the right ones, so that our percentages go up. And so that's how I think of it as a shooter, is like, I just want obviously more shots, but I want more of the good ones. And so I think a lot of it just comes down to spacing and moving off the ball. And I'm a big proponent of like getting to the corner, and like deep corner, I would always
your spot, get man.
Oh, we have X's or last year, you know, they had X's on the corners, and I was like, when I leave, man, you got to put M in the corner. So people know, like, that's my spot. But yeah, no, I think a lot of it's that, and just giving guys space so they can make the right play.
Yeah. You know, it's also worth noting, coming into the game tonight, Maryland had been really good defensively, and they were not giving up many three-point shots. I think they were in the top 10 in terms of, you know, preventing opponent three-point attempts. So it didn't really profile as a game. Indiana would take, you know, a lot of them. And so I'm sure that that's part of it too. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, what you described, you know, about young guys kind of following the ball, it seems like Mackenzie Mbako falls into that trap sometimes. And he's such a talented offensive player, you know, and found ways to score 13 points tonight. But he seems to kind of be struggling with a little bit of that. And as the season goes on, hopefully that's something he gets more comfortable with, you know, finding spots.
A lot of that's just not just for him, but for everybody. It's like learning the offense and learning when, you know, a guy drives this way, where should I go? When this is the spacing, where should I go? You know, and I had trouble with that too, is like not getting in the way. Like I you know, and just continuing to be, you know, a spacer and find gaps so you can get the easy shots and can get those open looks, which he's, you know, done a good job attacking and you know, find some good looks too, but he can get a lot more too if he just continues to you know, find the open gaps.
Yeah, Miller, obviously Malik Renu kind of struggled tonight with foul trouble, and we know that was sort of a theme last year with him as well, but he's really, up until tonight, taken on a big sort of leadership role and is one of the forefronts of the offense and all that. When you were teammates with him, what impressed you about him? You know, he was just a freshman last year, didn't play a ton, but it was clear he was pretty damn good already at that point.
Well, I loved his competitiveness. Like the guy, like he just wants to win so bad. And that's, I think, honestly, sometimes when he gets in foul trouble, it's just because he just doesn't want the guy to score. Yeah. Like he just is guarding and playing so hard, which, like, you got to give it to him. Like, if that's the case, screw it. Like,
get mad at him.
Then it comes down to just, you know, being selective with it. But that's the one thing that I was like, man, like, we first saw him play, and I was like, this kid like plays hard, especially when we got to games. It was like, this kid, like, he wants to win and really, really compete. So that's what I loved about him. Yeah.
So let me ask you about Anthony Leal, who's gotten some minutes the last couple of games. And, you know, really, I mean, obviously he hasn't made his shots. You know, he had that three tonight, and I think the roof of Assembly Hall would have blown off if he had made it. But, you know, it's been important, you know, with X out, Gabe Cupps is a freshman, CJ Gunn is still coming along. You know, what does it mean to have an experienced guy like Anthony out there? And what do you see from him in practice, or what did you see from him, you know, in practice that kind of shows that, you know, that he'd be ready for moments like these when his coach?
Well, I mean, he's shown something that I've never seen, like, ever. I mean, I could talk for hours about this guy, but like the amount of straight humility and just humbleness that the guy has had to assume and just accept is like insane. I mean, he would come into practice every day, play his butt off and know every scout, know every, you know, play that they're running, the names of them, the freaking, whatever it is. Like he would know basically, and this isn't, you know, he would know which way a player wipes his butt when he goes poop. Like he would know everything that well. Right.
It's a detailed scouting report, Miller.
And Leo, yeah. Leo, I love you. So you know it's true. And knowing that he wasn't going to play, like that's so, as an athlete and competitor, like that is so incredibly hard. Going into every offseason and working his tail off and every workout, every lift, all that stuff. Like that's why me and him really connected, is we butted heads in practice sometimes because we both were competing so hard. But when we played on the same team together, it was incredible because like I knew that he put all his all into every day, whether he was going to play or not. And shoot, like, I don't know if I could do that. A lot of guys, 99% of guys could never do that. And so I know for a fact that whenever he gets put in, he's ready no matter what. Like you could put him, you could call him up, you know, at 2 a.m. tonight and be like, Leo, like we need you. He'd be like, I'm there. I'm ready. Who am I guarding? Like, so yeah, no, he is ready no matter what. He's like the epitome of staying ready. And I would never really tell him stay ready. Cause that's like the worst thing you could tell somebody like who hasn't been playing is like screw you. Like I used to get told that like when I was like not getting in the game, it's like, stay ready. I'm like, screw that, man. Like, I don't need to hear that. I'm ready. I've been ready. You know, I'm ready. So he's just the guy, like he works his tail off and it really motivated me. Cause you know, I saw that every day and was just like, man, that guy freaking works his tail off, you know, and it's hard to do it when you don't see the end in sight. So that's my rant. Leo, love you, dude.
No, we love him too. And it's nice to see him getting out there and being productive with his minutes. Last question for this segment before we move on. I'm curious what your mindset was coming into this game. You know, because Indiana obviously 5-1, that's a good record, but I mean, just long stretches of really uneven play. And I think a lot of us were really wondering what team was going to show up, especially with X out. I mean, you know a lot of these guys, you know the program. What were you expecting coming into the game, and how did the actual performance match your expectations?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't really expecting, I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything specific, but I did when I saw X was out. I mean, I didn't know it before anybody else, but when I saw he was out, I think it gave me, I still was really confident because if he was out, then that means he probably didn't practice all week or however long it was, which at least gave some time for everybody else to kind of figure themselves out in terms of the plays or the defense or the actions or who's guarding who or whatever, all that stuff, you know, mentally as well. So that gave me a little more, like, you know, my thought process was like, okay, well, if he didn't practice all week, yeah, he's out, but at least guys had a little bit of time to maybe adjust. But man, I hope he gets healthy soon for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, we need him. That's for sure. But I think it's good, you know, if he's dealing with this, I mean, it seems like it's some kind of foot issue, different foot than last year. Get him healthy now for the stretch run. You know, even if he has to miss like an Auburn game or something like that, get him ready because we'll need him for Big Ten play for sure.
Yeah. I know he's got to be pissed off because that dude wants to play. He's a competitor.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure. Okay, so I want to remind everybody, and Miller, you can even give a little pitch for this because we were on a show together a couple weeks ago talking about NIL. But just a reminder that the donor match is still going from Hoosiers Connect. You can go to inforindiana.com. That donor is matching up to $1 million, and they're running their Back the Rock campaign right now to kind of celebrate and capitalize on the excitement of Coach Cignetti. Which, by the way, did you see him at his appearance at Assembly Hall?
I saw snippets. I saw snippets. I heard
yells, Purdue sucks. he's a
character.
That's
one way to get the crowd on your side quick.
It is. And he, well,
the man, you know, the man is smart.
Well, I mean, and I think he understands for Indiana football, you got to kind of lead with some of that swagger and try and build some confidence for a program that hasn't had it. So if you want to support his efforts and Hoosier Connect's efforts and all of the athletes at Indiana, go to inforindiana.com. Your donations will still be matched. So, I mean, you're getting double your impact. So go there, inforindiana.com, make a donation and support Indiana Athletics. All right, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 12-point victory over Maryland, we will talk about tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right. Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the Assembly Call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Alrighty, thank you, Gene, as always. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris, here with Ryan Phillips. And whoa, it looks like the coach, Brian Tonsoni, is here. Miller had to bounce, but we appreciate him coming on here. Miller, thank you so much. Excellent, excellent insight from him, as always.
We'll get him back for a Thursday show at some point.
We will. Oh, yeah, for sure. We definitely will. It is time now for tonight's meaningful moment that you might have missed.
Meaningful moments that you might have missed.
This segment brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. All right. Well, Coach, we've got you here. Let's get your opening thoughts, and then we'll dive into some meaningful moments.
Yeah, sorry I didn't get on mute here. It's a little bit of noise down here because everyone's so dang excited, from the football coach to this outstanding effort that was tonight. I couldn't even hear myself think. It was a really great effort by the players first and foremost. I thought the coaching staff did a really good job in a lot of different areas. And just a really good start to the Big Ten season for the Hoosiers, and a much-needed game for all of us to see that this team still has some things to work with or work on. But, man, what a performance tonight by the Indiana Hoosiers for at least 30 minutes or 32 minutes, and a good start to this tough stretch.
Yep. So the first meaningful moment that I want to point out, and Ryan, it really piggybacks on what you were talking about off the top with Trey Galloway, and this was the banner moment for a while until the lead got cut down and then Khalil Ware put the hammer on him. But, you know, early in the second half, I thought Indiana really came out and struggled a little bit the first few minutes of the second half. Didn't have quite the same energy, didn't have quite the same movement on offense. And it felt like Maryland was missing some opportunities to kind of cut into the lead. But, you know, as they couldn't all night, they couldn't make any shots. And so it was 42-31, Indiana struggling a little bit. and Trey just took over. He scored three straight buckets, all different on one. You know, he initiated a drive from like 35 feet out and scored, you know, got all the way to the basket and scored. On the next possession, I think Mbaku got a steal, led to a transition opportunity, and Trey did a much better job tonight in transition, making decisions and finishing. And then I think the next one was a little give and go with Ware at the top of the key, and Ware found him for a wide open layup. So it was six straight points. It pushed the lead out to 48-31. Indiana would extend that lead even more. But Ryan, you know, to your point about how important Trey was, I thought that was a huge point in the game because it did not allow Maryland to cut into the lead in the second half, got Indiana going offensively at a time when someone needed to step up and probably a guard needed to step up, and Trey was the guy to do it.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, he's a veteran. He's a guy who's been here. He's been through it. He's played a lot at Indiana. And just seeing him finally sort of rise in the season. And again, it, you know, when I talked about that earlier in the week, that the guards hadn't really stepped up, it's early in the season. You know, that was the big caveat. It's, we don't, you know, it's early. Everyone's getting used to the guys around them, all that stuff. Trey's kind of, while it's the same role, it's a little different because they're relying on him more heavily this year. And he just didn't look comfortable. He finally sort of became the guy you need him to be. And it was, there were a bunch of plays like that. There were a couple where he just drove. And, you know, out of a lot of his points come in transition. They come off of broken plays or they come off of him driving in the middle on that floater or whatever. There were a couple times tonight he just drove on guys and went right into the paint. And so it was nice to see him look like, you know, there's guys who when the competition is lower, they're like, oh, I'm going to eat tonight. Like this, I'm going to go. And then when it gets great, they kind of get timid. And it was nice to see him not be timid against a Big Ten opponent. And he, I'm not saying he is normally, but you could see in his eyes, he was like, I don't care who is guarding me. I'm going to do something tonight and I'm going to make a play and I'm going to make a play for somebody else. And I'm going to, you know, get in there and mix it up and we're going to win this game. And they did it on his back. I mean, again, Khalil Ware got the numbers tonight, but really Trey Galloway was the engine driving the offense all night long and defense, I think as well.
Coach, what stood out to you just from a moment perspective? Which ones really jumped out?
Yeah, I just want to back up. Miller Kopp said pace and Trey, and I think that was absolutely incredible. I thought Trey played with pace, and I thought the whole team played with pace when they didn't.
All moved.
Then in that second half, they got worn out, and the ball got stagnant again. But boy did Trey play well. I was really impressed with Coach Woodson's defensive strategy, and I heard Miller say assistant coaches and all of that. But at first, they weren't switching Cups on to Young. They were trying to keep Galloway on Young. And then when Cups went out of the game, then they went back to switching. And then later, they played what I call blocks and elbows. There was a foot in the lane. They weren't trusting Maryland to hit a three, and they were going to clog up that lane and stop penetration. And so there are different defenses throughout, or different same man-to-man defense, but different strategies without. And I thought if that was Kenya or whoever had to scout, but you got to give the coaching staff some credit there in their defensive effort. Yes, Maryland struggles from three. Yes, they're not one of the top five teams like everyone predicted in the preseason, and they didn't play well, but a lot of that goes to the effort of the players executing the coaching staff. So that's kind of a meaningful moment there too, is the style of defense that just wore this Maryland team out and helped Indiana to the victory.
Yeah, you know, something else that stood out too, you know, Mackenzie Mbaku had a stretch there in the first half. You know, I think he hit a three. He hit kind of a little awkward jumper going toward the middle. And, you know, he wasn't particularly productive in the second half, but, you know, we're only a few weeks removed from him, you know, barely being productive at all. And so tonight in his first Big Ten game, he gets 13 points, 7 boards, 3 assists and a steal. You know, so I think it was a bit of an uneven performance, and you can still see he's got to move his feet more defensively. And I think, and, you know, this is understandable for a freshman, but Indiana got up, and I don't think he didn't seem quite as locked in the second half. But, you know, I think, Coach, you're starting to see from him more that versatile offensive ability that is such a nice complement with what Malik Renu and Khalil Ware can do down low. And just, you know, every game now, it feels like he's getting a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more integrated into what Indiana's doing. So a quiet second half, but I thought his first half was really impressive.
His effort rebounding on the offensive glass was tremendous. You know, you probably saw it on TV, but he was really attacking angles, especially at the free throw He got a couple, I think, on the free throw. But he was active on the offensive glass. And Trey Galloway in the press conference said that – was asked a question about how the rebounding has improved. He said, we've started emphasizing going to the offensive glass a little bit more too, which is a way to get easy points if your offense is struggling. But I thought that was impressive. The stats say that he had a good game, but he was really, really locked in on his effort to rebound, I think, on both ends tonight. And that is a way you can contribute – when your offense may not be flowing. I thought best game by far overall with the fundamentals for McKenzie.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, 11 points in the first half, 4 rebounds, 3 of them offensive, and they came, you know, pretty close together in a stretch where I tweeted out, it was, you know, at the first time out, I tweeted out, I was like, the activity level from him on both ends is the best we've seen. I mean, it was just incredible. Yes. And I think that him getting off to a fast start really helps his activity level. He doesn't get down on himself, which, by the way, when a guy shrugs, doesn't make shots and misses and screws up and slumps his shoulders, that's what freshmen do. You know, it's not specific to McKenzie and Bacco. Most freshmen do that.
Look at Maryland's freshmen.
Smith, yeah.
And Kaiser, really, both struggling big time.
Really struggled. And Bacco in the second half, he only had 2 points, but he grabbed 3 rebounds, had 3 assists, had a steal. You know, he was still contributing, although it was kind of a quiet second half, certainly offensively. Made both his free throws, though. And I just think that what you're getting for, you're starting to see him get comfortable. And I think that's the key for him, is just getting comfortable and then expanding out from what your role is right now. And eventually maybe you are the guy who can, you know, take a step back 3 or, you know, drive and pull up in the middle of the offense and things like that. It doesn't have to come to you wide open when you're going to pull the trigger. And there was one point where he, you know, was on the wing. I think it was his first shot, and he was kind of jab stepping and looking, and then he just popped a shot and he missed it. And on broadcast, they say he needs to drive that. They're absolutely right. He needs to drive that. But as he gets more comfortable, I think that's something it's going to be easier for him to do. And also, it's going to be easier as he gets more comfortable to use his teammates to his advantage. Drive in there. If somebody steps up, you lob it to Ware, or you know, kick it out, you know, as the defense collapses, round around, and then you get the ball back. So you learn to use the resources at your disposal as you get more comfortable. So definitely his best game. I agree with you, Coach. And it wasn't just statistically, it was the way he moved, the way he was active, and the way you can just see him starting to be a part of the game, as opposed to sort of just grabbing on for dear life and trying to figure it out.
Second straight game with 3 offensive rebounds for him. And really, mm-hmm. I mean, all of his numbers, he hasn't missed a free throw yet. He's 15 for 15 from the line. He's 16 of 27 on twos. The only thing that's really holding his offensive efficiency down right now is 3 for 20 from 3-point range. But, you know, he looked, again, to me like a guy tonight that was ready to go off from 3 if he got more opportunities. I think, what was he, 1 for 2? Yeah, he was 1 for 2. You know, and so I think as he gets more comfortable, that shot's going to come. Coach, one other moment that I wanted to point out, back in the first half, you know, there were kind of some tense moments there around the, you know, 4 or 5 minute mark as Maryland cut into the lead. It was 31-24, and it really felt like, okay, here's kind of danger zone time for Indiana. You know, you've been ahead the whole half. You can't give this up. What does Indiana do? Well, they go to a big guy. Typically, that's been Malik Renew that they've gone to in these situations. He was off the court, so they go to Khalil Ware. You know, it was Maryland was on a 6-0 run. Ware had it about 8 feet from the basket, took his little turnaround jumper, made it and won. Just a huge play. And that was followed by the 3 by McKenzie and Bacco, which took that 31-24 lead, immediately jumped it out to 37-24, which was huge with no X and Malik Renew on the bench, you know, to be able to do that in your Big Ten opener. But, you know, Indiana's really, you know, we wondered, okay, what's going to be the go-to, you know, offensive play for this team when they need a bucket? It's very clear. They're going to Renew or they're going to Ware. And as we talked about, Ware can get that little turnaround jumper anytime he wants it, you know, and he's done a pretty decent job of making them. And so, you know, we talked about him off the top in the banner moment, just another terrific game for him, both in terms of being ready to deliver offensively when Indiana needed it. I mean, that in the first half and, you know, his ability to score late in the second half to stop Maryland from coming back. But also, he got a lot of tough rebounds in traffic today as part of his 14 rebounds, which was just really nice to see, you know, for a guy who just continues to answer all the offseason questions we had about him.
Yeah, Ware was fantastic. And I, what I like about being here is you can see some things that don't necessarily show up on television or on the stat sheet. He intimidated that Maryland team coming in the lane. Like they were just peeing down their leg every time.
It was so obvious.
Yeah. Was it obvious on TV too?
Yes.
I mean, those guys, the feet would get jittery, and a couple times they had wide open layups and they're like, I'm not even shooting this. I'm passing this out. Like, those are good things that Ware does besides all of the things that you mentioned. But it's nice to see him score. He had another basket in the second half when it kind of got a little dicey, went down to 12 or something. They went inside. Renew's out. But he was gassed. Trey Galloway was gassed. When they had time, they were grabbing on their shorts and leaning over at timeouts. And that's why Sparks came in late to give him a blow. If there's any question about his effort, we really haven't seen it. He has really taken to this Indiana program and Coach Woodson and staff. He was, you know, you can't replicate that when you go play a 7-2 guy who has the ability to get up and block shots, and it's just intimidating. His rebounding was solid too. Just maybe once
really
did
good.
One get knocked out of his hands.
Yeah.
He has to be.
And
he
Woodson
has to
got
be a
on him
more physical.
Woodson got
yeah,
on him
absolutely.
Yeah,
he's got to rip it down and pull the elbows out and anticipate guards hitting up on it. That's something with more minutes, and he's got to learn how to do that when he's fatigued. Like, he rebounds really well when he's not fatigued. When he's fatigued, which is in the fourth quarter or the last 10 minutes, he's got to be able to rebound that strong as well. Outstanding effort by Khalil tonight.
Yeah, I think one thing that's interesting with him is just we talk about the effort, and that was the big question mark coming in. And you see the skill. It's obviously there. And so if he just plays with effort, that skill's going to come out. And that's what you're seeing in Indiana. And I'm not saying he didn't play with effort at Oregon. I know he got tagged with that label, but we don't really know that. We don't know what practice was like. But he's been fighting against that, and he's done a fantastic job. And just, you know, rebounds are effort and focus is a rebound. And, you know, positioning, all that stuff, but that's focus. And it helps when you're 7 feet tall, but you know, 14 boards tonight. Here's the other thing. He had the ball in his hand a lot. One turnover, just one. I mean, Malik Renew had four, there's opportunities for him to screw up and make mistakes, and he's just not making them. And a couple of those shots rimmed out. You know, he had one where it was a fadeaway jumper on the block that it was just kind of like, all right, you don't need to take that, but he's made that. So why wouldn't he? And so I've loved watching Khalil play. He makes it look so easy. He just does. And it's his height. It's his athleticism. It's his skill level. He was so unbothered by Maryland tonight. At no point, you know, you saw him in the UConn game. He was a little uncomfortable. He was so unbothered tonight. And that's growth for him, I think. Also, I'm going to say it again. Khalil, shoot more. You're 1-of-1 from three tonight. You could take another one. You could take three more if
you
want.
He's 5-for-9 on the season now.
Seriously, and I know it's a comfort. I know it's a comfort thing in the offense and all that, but I would love to see them start doing some pick and pop with him. And even if it's not there, it opens up the floor for other people. Also, opens up the post if Renew is in there as well, or the wings and all that. So I would really like to see them take advantage of that because he's got a great shot. He's got great touch. We thought he had a great shot coming into the year, and I think it's looked better than we thought it would.
Yep. All right, next up, time to go Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or by visiting jacksonhewitt.com. Numbers, Coach, I think the two that stand out to me, one positive, one negative. You know, we are not that far removed from kind of feeling like this team was having a rebounding crisis.
In their first
Big Ten game, Indiana out-rebounded Maryland 46-30. Now, Maryland didn't enter this game as a great defensive rebounding team, but they are a very good offensive rebounding team. Indiana did give up 10 offensive rebounds to them, only 8 second-chance points on those 10 rebounds. But overall,
a couple of those were tipped around, and it was kind of a loose ball thing.
But overall, I mean, I thought it was an excellent rebounding effort. You know, we've talked about where... I thought, you know, Mbako continues to be terrific on the offensive glass. I thought Gabe Cupps, you know, rebounded out of his area a couple times, which was really nice to see. And it was just, a team-wide effort, which, again, you know, you're seeing some of the things that Mike Woodson was talking about, you know, in his post-game press conferences, things he wanted to focus on. You're seeing that translate onto the court. The biggest negative for me, I mean, obviously the shooting, you know, 3 of 9 from downtown, you know, that's whatever. I mean, it wasn't a game where Indiana was probably going to take a lot anyway. Only 10 of 18 from the free throw line. So they didn't get any extra efficiency offensively from the 3-point range or from, you know, from 3-point range or the free throw line, which against better Big Ten opponents, you're going to need to win. And you're also going to need to limit the turnovers. Indiana had 16 turnovers, 4 of them by Malik. He had several travels. And then just some sloppy passes.
One of those was just really good footwork, by the way. He did have one, but one was just really good footwork, and the official was just like, the footwork couldn't have been that good. That's a travel.
It was. You know, I'm willing to give a little grace on the turnovers. You're playing without your starting point guard. Yeah. Some of those were, you know, late when the other team is pressing, so I'm not going to get overly concerned about it. But, you know, again, against a team that's playing a little bit better than Maryland was, the shooting numbers and the turnover numbers, you know, are going to hurt Indiana. They didn't tonight, and that's really good, but it's just something to keep an eye on. Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, on the rebounding, Jared, just to mention, you mentioned how many offensive reels they gave up. They also had 15 offensive rebounds. I mean, so Trey talking about, you know, them going off after the offensive glass. I mean, Trey had 3, Mbako had 3, Ware had 2, Peyton Sparks had 2, Caleb Banks had 2. I mean, they are getting after it on the offensive glass, and that's a positive to see. As for other numbers, 10 of 18 from the free throw line, just to reiterate, that's got to get better. And they've been okay shooting free throws this year. So it you know, you also got Spark shooting 4. You've got
get Mbako more free throws.
Yeah, I think he looks absolutely perfect when it comes out of his hand. But you know, CJ Gunn going 2 of 4. He's got to make at least 3 of those. You know, and
it's a rough night for CJ.
Yeah, it was. I loved his, and I'll say that about CJ and Caleb Banks. They didn't score. They didn't put up huge numbers, but CJ had 3 steals. Like, I mean, I loved their effort. And Anthony Walker, I'll throw him in there too. I loved their effort. I loved their energy, especially as a second unit guys coming in and not letting there be a drop off in that energy is huge. And they were running circles around Maryland, now finishing at the rim and things like that were a struggle. I think Banks and Gunn were combined 1 for 9 from the field. But, you know, the energy got Maryland going too fast. They really did. And it sped them up on both ends of the floor. And I think that was really good from both those guys. But, yeah, the shooting, it has to get better because you're going to play better teams coming up. And you really cannot afford. I mean, they only shot 45% from the field, considering how many point they had 40 in the paint. You know, you'd expect that to be a little bit higher, but you know, 33% from 3, which will make their percentage rise on the year, I believe. And then 55.6 from the free throw line. That's got to be better.
Yeah. Coach, what numbers?
You know, with CJ and Banks, they brought great energy. I thought they played well. They didn't score. They didn't offensively, their offensive stats were not good, but I thought they played well. Everyone has mistakes within the game, getting driven, getting caught in the screen. But I thought they had really great energy, had some deflections, as you mentioned. And you know, CJ almost threw down that dunk. I love the attitude of, I'm going to throw it in your face. Maybe it would have been better to lay it up instead of doing the monster dunk on Geronimo.
Signetti had him fired up, Coach. He was just going to go dunk on
somebody. Can't blame him.
I saw him up in the hallway. I was talking to some friends at halftime, and he walked right by, man. I just wanted to give them a high five. But you know, those guys are coming, and we said in the offseason, when they're ready to produce, this team just takes off. They're not quite ready yet in certain components of the game at certain times. One time they'll hit a couple threes, then the next time it's rebounding or whatever. You have that with developing sophomores. Don't give up on these two guys. They're out working on their game early. They bring a lot of athleticism, a lot of hustle. And I thought they played okay if you don't look at the stat sheet. You know, when they go
to
film,
yes,
they're going to see a lot of, you know, diving on the floor and doing those things that contribute to winning. They're just not stuffing the stat sheet. For Indiana to play well, though, we need them to get there and not get there in their junior year or their senior year. Get there sooner than later. I think that's good. The turnovers, what's interesting is I thought Indiana was playing a great game. I remember seeing 5 turnovers. When I just went to look at the box score and saw 16, we must have had at least double digits in the last 7 or 8 minutes
A lot of it was late second half,
Second half turnovers.
Against the press, and then they had a stretch on offense where they were turning the ball over every time.
They got tired. And they got tired, and they started standing, and they started dribbling into bad spots, into double teams. They started throwing, leading people on the press into traps. And Maryland got desperate. So you had a tired team. But here's the thing. The learning point for this, for these Indiana Hoosiers, is you gave maximum effort for 30 minutes. You've got to find a way to do that for 40, or the bench rotation has to work out to where you can give these guys some more meaningful rest than what they got tonight. Because without X, the rotation, because you're going to have a lull. You know, it's a game of runs, but that ending run was because of sloppiness. And here's the thing on those post feeds. It was more Ware's fault than Leo's fault and Galloway's fault, because Ware got tired and wasn't holding the seal.
Yeah.
He allowed that defender to break contact and then fly around, and the guard is reading that he has him sealed and throw it to the low side, but then the guy spins around. So sometimes the turnover goes to Leo and goes to Galloway, and our guards had, what, 6 turnovers of the 16, but really I would attribute that to Ware being so tired because of effort. And, again, no excuse. You got to play 40 minutes.
Yep.
Get in better shape, get in better game shape, all of those things. But you could just see it here how – they just came out in the second half and laid it on the line hard. And you're up 25. And Ryan, you've mentioned this a lot over the years. It's hard to tell college kids when you're up 25 to keep playing with that
yep.
intensity. And then when your lungs and legs are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your legs and lungs are gone. You're like, hey, we got a 25-point lead. You know, I'll just be, you know.
Or you're looking.
They don't know.
That's when they start looking for a spectacular play, the pull-up Steph Curry three,
yeah.
the big dunk
yeah.
in the lane, like that, you know. And it's because it feels like, oh, this is fun time. Like, you know, we yeah. worked so hard to get here. This is fun. Well, with the advent of the 3-point shot, Maryland obliged by not making yeah. No lead is safe, and so, you know, teams can come back rapidly these days. But yeah, they got up, and again, especially a team loaded with younger guys, I think, and yep. they get comfortable, they get excited, the crowd's excited, they want to go in transition, they want to get out, they want to run, they want to do things, when really at that point, what you need to do sometimes is slow the game down, eat clock, run your offense as solidly as possible and get a good look, and just let the game end, essentially. But that's rarely what happens.
This is fun.
But in that, you still have to be creative, guys, agreed. In your offense. We got dribble to the side, clear everyone out, throw it in the post, which allowed Maryland's defense to know where the action was going to be. The ball and people didn't move like it did the first 30 minutes.
Agreed, 100%.
And Coach was yelling at Galloway because it took him 22 seconds one time to try to feed the ball in the post, and then it got stolen away. But Coach Woodson and staff, even with the big lead, you've still got to be as creative as I thought they were in moving the ball. You mentioned that one play where Ware got it in the high post and Galloway cut off and they got a backdoor cut.
Yep.
Do something a little bit different than 9 times in a row. I know it's your bread and butter, and I know they're good, but they were doubling hard and Indiana was turning the ball over and traveling. You've got to change it up there. That's the only point of Coach Woodson's game tonight that I would, you know, if I was on the staff saying, hey, we got to do something different. And he even said so in the press conference. He said, I got to help them be better in the last 8 minutes. That's on me. And so I like to hear that stuff from a coach that he said, I'm still learning. I'm still learning these guys. I'm still learning offensively. Defensively, we were spectacular, but not happy with the last 8 minutes. And again, that's what coaches do. You're never satisfied until you get the perfect game.
I mean, it's a great Big Ten opener. You win by double digits. You can feel good. You build some confidence, but there's still plenty of things to improve upon, you know, and for coach to – you know, wage a battle against complacency, for another great Signetti line that we're all going to love. By the way, the other number that really jumps out, time leading, 39 minutes and 39 seconds for Indiana. I don't know if that's the high point for this season, but I would think that it is, because it certainly feels like some of those other games early in the year were a little bit more back and forth in the first half. But it was nice to see Indiana, you know, and Miller Kopp talked about this, how important it is to get off to a good start. I mean, Indiana jumped out early and then just kept Maryland at arm's length the rest of the game. That's what good teams do at home in Big Ten games. And probably for me, my biggest takeaway tonight, and probably the biggest reason to be able to exhale, you know, Maryland isn't playing great right now, you know, and they look like maybe a team that'll finish anywhere from 8th to 11th in the Big Ten, who knows. This is what you do to a team like that on your home court. You take control early, you keep control the whole game. Indiana did that even without their starting point guard. That shows this team's got a little something, and we're starting to see that little something come out. They were a little better against Harvard. They were a little better tonight. And so, you know, some of those early season struggles that we saw, as we all thought would happen, are starting to improve slowly and steadily here as we move forward in the season. And it couldn't have come at a better time, with the schedule obviously getting a lot tougher right now. All right, coming up here on the Assembly Call, It's one of the easiest game ball and Hoosier Hustle awards that we'll do all season, I think. And then we'll discuss a few lingering questions and look ahead to what Indiana has coming up next week. That's all next year on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Ethan Happ, and I never listen to the Assembly Call. Especially the episodes that Ryan is on.
Both of our intros really coming after you tonight, Ryan. It's just how it is. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips. Coach Tonsoni is live from Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Just Mrs. Tonsoni, Coach is not going to be able to sleep tonight. He got to see Coach Cignetti get everybody pumped up. He got to see an IU victory. Just there's not going to be any sleep for Coach tonight. We already know that. He's too jacked up. All right, it's time now for our game balls presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental. As we enter the colder months and begin to stay indoors a bit more, they want to make sure everybody knows about radon, a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. It enters buildings through cracks and gaps in the foundation and through service pipes of homes. Contact Bloom Environmental today and mention Assembly Call for a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. All right, Ryan, why don't you go first with the game ball? Because I have a feeling you may go in a different direction than I'm
going to
go.
No, I'm actually not going to. I'm going to give it to Khalil Ware. I think Trey Galloway, as I've said, was the engine that drove things, but Ware was the guy who finished everything, I think. So, you know, and he also, I think what tipped it to him is that big play he made where he got the bucket and the foul when Maryland was really bearing down on Indiana trying to get
both halves. He did that
in both halves. He did that. And the one in the second half, I thought was really, really important just to kind of reestablish things. And then there was a timeout soon after, and it kind of, you came out of that timeout and Maryland had no chance. And so those two buckets, I think, tipped it to him for me. I still think Galloway, what his energy on both ends was the most important fact of the game, but I think Khalil Ware just, he put it away. And so 18 points, 14 rebounds and assists, as I said, only one turnover and a block, and at least 10 altered shots that didn't get blocked as well. So Khalil Ware gets it for me.
Someone come get Jen in the chat mob. She's trying to give the game ball and the hustle award to Galloway. Jen, you've been around long enough to know that's against the rules. Come on, you can't be allowing that. Coach, who gets your game ball?
Well, Jen is smart, and so is Quang. Galloway for game ball. And I know I'm not going to win because I think I saw your facial expression. You're going to go with Ware. But we were without our starting point guard. And who did that fall on? Trey Galloway. And Trey Galloway played with pace. As Miller Kopp, our esteemed guest, said, he played with pace. He had 6 rebounds. How many assists? 5 assists? 6 assists?
6 assists.
6 assists. Double-figure scoring. Guarded their best player all night. I just think that, yes, we have excellent – I think Mbako could be up for this as well with his impact on the game. But as far as – winning this game, if we don't have that performance from Trey Galloway, I don't care what Ware does, we don't win the game. I just think Galloway's best game, and it was a winning effort in the Big Ten, and just handling the pressure, that was one of the first times we've seen that for a full game. Hands down has to be Trey Galloway was the most impactful player, maybe not the best player, but the most impactful player in this win.
I don't like it, but he's making sense. It's
No, he does make sense. Look, this is why we added the Hoosier Hustle Award for nights like this, when there were two guys who deserved hardware. Coach, I'm not going to argue with anything that you said. And no, we wouldn't have won without Trey Galloway tonight, but we also don't win without 18 and 14 from Khalil Ware. And at some point,
and the defensive production
is overwhelming. And that's what tips it to me, is how Ware just affected everything Maryland tried to do on the offensive end. So it's close. They were both fantastic. And it's obvious, you know, to me that Trey is the Hustle Award, because the other thing to me, Coach, why I would give Trey the Hustle Award, you know, instead of the game ball, and it's, you know, splitting hairs and maybe semantics more than anything. But I thought so many of Trey's contributions, in addition to, you know, just what he did from a production standpoint, were hustle plays. I mean, that, you know, that steal that he got toward the end when he just stole that rebound from the Maryland guy, you know, the defensive play after Ware got the and one, where his hustle on the toward the sideline, you know, forced the turnover. So in addition, and that's what really made this a great performance from Trey, was in addition to the responsibilities of being a point guard and having to score and do all of that, he was still out there doing Trey Galloway things, which sometimes when a guy has that added responsibility, sometimes you don't get that other stuff from him, the X factor type stuff. And I thought Trey gave us both tonight, you know, and so maybe I'm now arguing, maybe that's actually a great argument for him as game ball.
When they were stagnant to start the second half, he got 6-0 run with some good play, you know, that really stretched the lead out and allowed the game anyway.
If we didn't have the hustle, I might give the game ball to Trey. But because we have that, I'm going to
I tell you, I'm getting outvoted on these shows. I'm going to hold out for some tights. You know, if I don't get some tights for the next game, I don't think I'm going to be ready do this show live from Assembly
stories.
Hall.
Why? One of the dumbest.
Okay, it's dumb that it happened. It's unconscionable that Kenny Payne would talk about that.
I completely agree.
Stupid.
It's ridiculous. Put it out there. Anyway, well, he knows if he's going to be around there much longer. He had to get a good story out of it, at least. Do we all agree, Trey, for hustle? We don't even need to go around the horn, right?
Well, no, but we have an.
Yeah,
ad.
Okay. So let me throw someone out there.
Hold on. Let's transition to it. Let's do this the right way, and then we'll get to it.
I don't host. That's why I don't know.
Hey, Chat Mob, you do not want to see me in tights. You will never come back to the show. So don't be putting that in the chat, Mob. That was a joke.
So far this season, we got to add up all the things that have to happen.
Pie.
We've got Coach eating pie wearing tights. So that's happening. Which, by the way, just a reminder, because a couple people have asked me. The meetup is February 2nd. That's the weekend of the Penn State game. We have not figured out the details for what we're doing. You know, if we can do some kind of live show, we're going to try. There are some challenges with that. So at a minimum, we're going to have a meetup and party so that we can all hang out and see each other. But we'll have the details for that. But we are going to be in town for that game. You know, so I know some people have asked because they're planning. If you're planning on coming in, that's the weekend that we're going to be there. Okay.
You'll be able to get tickets. It's Penn State.
Yes.
They're expensive. I've already looked.
Oh, really?
Good.
They'll come.
Yeah.
It's an Indiana home game. They should be expensive.
Game time app.
All right. Hustle Award.
The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, I have some exciting news to share about our friends at Evansville Security Services. They've been acquired. They are now part of the team at Security Pro 24/7, which provides trusted and reliable security for your event or business, from Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, Prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
Thank you, Anthony. Congrats on getting more time and playing well while you're out there. Always nice to see. All right, Hustle Award. I'm giving mine to Galloway for all the reasons I already said. Ryan?
Same. Galloway. Okay.
Coach, did you have
now, can I vote for him even if he, my guy, I voted for him for game ball? Am I allowed to vote for him again or not?
You can if you want to and just make it unanimous. Sure, he just can't.
Yeah,
he can't win.
If he doesn't win if he doesn't win it, then he's got to be the Hustle. But I want to throw out Mbako, for those reasons we mentioned. I thought his, you know, effort to start the game and his effort rebounding and the way he was moving on the court and the way he was locked in added to that great start. So it's obvious Ware and Galloway were the big dogs tonight. But Mbako had a really good hand in that as well. And we've been waiting for him to play, and we've been maybe disappointed in his stats and his effort and output. I thought he was outstanding tonight. And in plays that were Hustle Award-type plays, I thought he was good. So he at least needs a shout-out.
All right, let's go to lingering questions. Chat Mob, if you guys have a lingering question you want us to address, pop it in there, and we will take one. My lingering question for you guys, you know, X is out. We don't know when he's going to be back, you know, but he very well may be out for the Michigan game on the road. He could be out for the Auburn game. We'll just have to wait and see. And so my lingering question is, you know, Trey Galloway was great tonight. What is Indiana going to be able to get out of Gabe Cupps from a production standpoint with Xavier Johnson out? And really more to the point, how should we be assessing Gabe's performance? Because you look at it tonight, he played 24 minutes, he started. He did not score, he missed two shots, he had one rebound, he had no assists, two turnovers, three fouls, did have two steals. So, Coach, there's nothing in there from a box score perspective that is impressive or productive. And yet, you know, he was an important part of this win and did some meaningful things that led to winning. But at what point, as we go through his freshman season, do we have to start expecting more actual production from him?
You don't. When you got a front line like we do, and then Galloway can pop, he's your fifth, you know, needed scorer in the starting lineup, and you got guys that can come off the bench. And add, what he needs to do is run the offense, try not to get beat off the drive. Be a pest on defense. And when he got those steals, they were energy. And the crowd loves him. When he was introduced today, he had the loudest ovation of the student body. He just is that – he's that guy that you hate to play when he's on the other team. His production will come. It's probably going to come later in his career when he's more able to score. He'll hit a couple shots. But if he you know, scores 5 points in a game, I think that's great. The offense ran – when he was out there tonight, he moves the ball. He is able to help beat the press. Those things don't find their way into a box score. But if I'm evaluating Gabe Cupps tonight, it was an outstanding performance in helping Indiana win. The production needs to get there. His turnovers came late too, I think. He had one against the press that was a bad decision. He's just got to get the ball to the people and then be able to hit a shot or two if he's open on these kickouts, which is my lingering question of what Indiana's going to do when they're guarded in the lane. But I was – again, I can't find a whole lot negative. Yeah, the box score doesn't look good. But we had a couple guys whose box score didn't look good that contributed to this most important win, and Gabe Cupps was one. He's just an energy – one of those energizer bunny rabbits that you just want to knock over if you're the opposing team. And that is a value too, because it wears the other team down.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Ryan, your thoughts on Gabe? And, you know, look, it's also, you know, you're playing at home, you're playing against a Maryland team that was obviously struggling. You hold them to 53 points in part because, you know, Gabe helps you do that on defense. There are probably going to come, you know, going to come a time where if he's playing that many minutes, you may need some more points from him. And so we'll see if that comes. But, Coach, I generally agree with what you're saying. A lot of the stuff Gabe's doing right now is not going to show up in the box score. Ryan, your thoughts on Gabe and kind of what you're looking from him, especially these next couple games if X is out?
Well, I mean, honestly, this is what I kind of expected. I think that he's handling himself well, but I think the physicality is going to get to him a little bit of guarding some of these guys. He's not as big as they are, and he's young. You know, it's you expect that. And also he has a slighter frame that he's got to work to build out. But I haven't really expected him to be a scoring presence at this point of his career. That's, you know, it's just not going to happen in that way. Now, could he pop for 15 in a game at some point? Of course. But I don't think he's going to be a consistent scoring presence. What he brings is energy. What he brings is, as Coach was talking about, being a pest, doing those things. That's where his value lies. And also being a ball mover on offense, moving the ball to the right spot, making sure of it. There were a couple times tonight where he was in the wrong spacing. I mean, he was too close to the guy next to him. And you could see him correct himself after he passed it because he was passing, you know, 5 feet from him. And it was like, oh, God, and like moved back. And those are things that freshmen go through, especially a freshman guard when so much is expected of you. But if you notice tonight, he wasn't the one bringing the ball up. Trey Galloway was. And there's a reason for that. He's still getting comfortable and everything. So, but being
a facilitator.
Being out there and facilitating the offense, moving it around, knowing where everyone's supposed to be, there's value in that, even if you don't get an assist from it. You know, if you make one more pass so the entry pass to Ware is better, you know, is a better angle, or you make the extra pass and then there's another pass to a guy who's open in the corner, there's value in that. Hockey assists are important, are just as important as regular assists if you're moving the ball. And so that's what he needs to do right now, not focus on points. And, you know, if he gets to the line, make your free throws. But if he gets an open three, you got to start knocking some of those down because they're going to come to him. If you don't start making them, you're going to be left open. You got to start doing that. But I'm not looking for him to score points. I'm looking for him to do all the other little things that help teams win.
Yeah, points, I think, are the least important.
Exactly.
It 100%. Would be nice to see the assists go up a little bit if he can start creating. And obviously the havoc that he can create with steals is helpful, and he had two of those tonight, which was nice to see.
Here's the thing, though. He's not going to beat people off the dribble.
No.
So Indiana's assists from guards come from post feeds or driving like X does and kicking out for two. That's where a lot of the assists come. That's where Galloway got this assist. So he's not at the point yet where he's going to beat people off the ball screen or split a ball screen and go to the lane. That'll come in time in his career. But right now he's a ball mover only. The way he's going to get points is making sure he gets that ball into the post. But even the post take two or three dribbles with that crab dribble sometimes to get to the lane. So
it takes your assist away.
Yeah, it takes your assist away when that happens. You won a game without your starting point guard, and he played, what, 23 minutes and only turned the ball over twice against a pressure team. I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I mean, even without X and even with your starting point guard, or nominally your point guard, and Gabe Kupps having no assists, Indiana had 17 assists on 26 made field goals.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's not like there was
the ball moved tonight. The ball moved.
Nice. Well, really, that's why I wanted to have this discussion, because I think you can look at that box score and it's like, ah, Kupps did nothing. But I'm with you, Coach. That's why I think it's important to know how to assess these guys. And I think for him, it's going to take a while for the box score to tell the story of what he's doing.
One of the guys, his energy is already something. Every game, his energy is already something. You know, he starts the game with, you know,
it's
the
a
trillion,
skill.
And then you know, but the energy is added on top of that.
Yes. One other guy I wanted to talk about that I thought we saw some good things from tonight was Anthony Walker, who seems to be settling in a little bit more with his decision-making. Now, Coach, you know, we were kind of joking. There were a couple times where you would prefer that he not dribble quite as much, and he dribbled himself into turnovers, but there were a couple other times where I thought his recognition was better. You know, there was one possession where Maryland's defense just parted like the Red Sea, and he just dribbled right in and made that little floater, you know, had another one.
That's his
like
shot, that. Clearly.
That's his play. That's it his is. Play, not forcing stuff in the lane or taking outside shots.
Yes, and that's what we're looking – that's what I'm looking for from him, is just a little bit better recognition of when to go and when not to. And for the most part, I think if he's taking more than one dribble, it's probably not going to be good. You know, if he needs one dribble to get into his floater or to, you know, get a closer shot, that's fine. But, you know, you're not – he had a couple of open threes tonight that he passed up to get to a better shot. And so he's – it's just felt like the last couple games you've gotten a little bit more consistent play from him, which is exactly what we expected. You know, with him being a fifth-year senior coming in, you expect him to be a settling presence off the bench, not this, you know, more erratic guy. Now, there's still some of that erraticness in there.
Coach, it's also a new system and all that.
Maybe I'm a little too optimistic. Well, maybe I'm a little too positive about his game tonight.
No, I thought he did. I thought he did a nice job. But the post guys are struggling right now with what TJD did a great job of last year, and that's getting the ball moving out of the post when the double team comes. They're dribbling too much. Anthony Walker's dribbling too much. Renew's dribbling too much. And then they're trying to split two guys, and then they try to throw it over high hands, and the ball gets tipped. And a lot of turnovers are coming from the post player. And so that's where I think, you know, if Woodson's sitting back, like, how can I help these guys? And you saw a little bit at late, Renew didn't get into that trouble. He kind of drew two back to the corner, and then the ball moved. And I thought that they were looking to skip that ball a little bit more. And that's where your volume threes are going to come in this offense, on those kickouts. But I wrote this down as a major concern. Our kickouts out of the post and double teams and our attack in the lane. Peyton Sparks does this. Walker does this. Even Ware sometimes. There are times when you're heavily guarded in the lane. It doesn't mean you have to shoot. If the ball goes in, that works. If we get fouled, that works too. But there are guys that are wide open for step and shoot threes. We get so upset with the guards not being able to shoot threes and not taking many threes. This team needs to do better on the post kickouts when there is an advantage on the perimeter. That's what TJD did so well. That's what Miller Kopp loved, those long corners, he said, where they put the X for him where he could hit his shots. They have emphasized going into the post. They're doing a great job of doing it, but they've got to emphasize that it can't be a black hole. And I'm concerned, a lingering question going forward, that we emphasize that so much that we're not being as efficient offensively because we're taking wild shots in the lane. And you know, Sparks gets fouled and he goes 1-for-4. That's an empty possession. And he's just dribbling and bullying his way through three people to get the ball to the rim. Kick the ball out, and that's where 15 threes a game is enough for this team with the post. And I think we left about 6 or 7 kickouts today. If you go back and watch, I didn't track it necessarily, and maybe I will at the Michigan game, but where you might be able to hit 3 or 4 of them and get that energy going. I'm concerned about that. You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse with the twos and the efficiency, but it's real and it's a math problem. And you don't have to run sets for shooters if they're not good catch and shoot, but get them the ball in spacing. Miller made a great point, too, that maybe it's the wings not opening up to the right spots. So collectively, that whole kickout game, if we're going to have heavy post, the whole kickout game has to be better.
All right, as we look ahead to what Indiana has coming up, the Hoosiers play Michigan on Tuesday. That game is on Peacock, so make sure that you get your Peacock subscription. When you do that, go to Inside the Hall, either their website or Twitter. They have an affiliate link. Do that. You're going to pay the money for Peacock anyway, so we might as well support Alex and the folks at Inside the Hall because they'll get a little affiliate kickback if you use their link. So do that. Interesting to note, Michigan still has a game tomorrow. They play at Oregon. And then have to travel back to Michigan for the Tuesday game. This is going to be an interesting one, Coach. You know, Michigan is 4-3. They've been up and down. They've, you know, trounced St. John's. Their other, top 100 win is against Stanford. They lost to Long Beach State, lost to Memphis, lost to Texas Tech. Phil Martelli is still the coach. I think Juwan Howard is now going to be transitioning into being an assistant. My concern with Michigan is Doug McDaniel. How does Indiana contain Doug McDaniel? Because he is
without X.
Especially if X is out. That is going to be the big one. Obviously, Olivier Kamwa has been very good. And so, that's going to be an interesting matchup. Who takes him? Because he has not only been good, inside and as a rebounder, but he's also shooting 40% from three-point range on 22 attempts. And so if you have Malik Renew chasing him around, does that put Malik in foul trouble? I think Indiana in a home game with the crowd behind them, you're able to withstand Malik not playing his full allotment of minutes. I would not want to go on the road and test my luck with that. So those are my two big questions. How do you contain Doug McDaniel and do it without fouling? And what's the matchup with Kamwa, and how does Malik Renew fit into that? I think those are going to be the two things that tell the story of the game from Indiana's perspective. Any thoughts on Michigan from either of you? From having seen them play or just what you know about them?
Go ahead, Coach.
Winning on the road is always tough in the Big Ten. You have 10 road games. You want to try to get 5. If you can hold court at home and get 5 on the road, this is one Indiana can get, but they're going to have to play really, really well. Michigan got off to that good start, won at St. John's. That's an okay win. I don't know that that's really a great win. And then they've lost a few. I just think they're athletic. And that, again – we've got to be able to guard. And what Indiana did tonight defensively gives me a lot of hope that Indiana can go on the road, but true road games are just very, very, very difficult, especially with some freshmen like Mbako and Cups. And yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a dogfight. It's one Indiana can win, but if they don't, we've split the Big Ten 1-1, and then we got a couple of really huge games ahead of Indiana. But I think those two guys are important. I'll take a look at their roster. I think we got a show coming up to preview it, too. That'll be a big, big thing for our community.
Yeah, Monday afternoon, we're going to do a live show with Ant Wright. A lot of you guys have started following him on Twitter, at It's Ant Wright. Really does excellent, excellent work. He actually had a halftime show. He does a halftime show for a lot of Big Ten games. Great follow on Twitter if you want insight for Big Ten teams. But he, you know, he played at Michigan under John Beilein, so obviously knows a lot about them. So I know at least me and Tony will be there with him. Coach, obviously you're invited if you're free to come join us. And so we'll get his thoughts on Indiana, talk about that game.
What about me?
You won't even be awake. It's at like 3 Eastern. You'll still be just waking up. Just a quick note on that game. Indiana, KenPom, Indiana goes up, I think, from 75 to 69, which is nice. And then Michigan is 53rd. KenPom predicts a 77-72 victory for Michigan for whatever that is worth. But those metrics are all very noisy this early in the season, so wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into it. I'm with you, Coach. I think it's a game where I think from Indiana's perspective, if you play well and it's a dogfight and you have a chance to win in the final 4 minutes, that's a good thing. I think that would show a lot of progress for this team. What you don't want to see happen is go out, get your doors blown off, and kind of feel like, you know, some of the progress from the last couple games was lost. But a real opportunity, a winnable road game, I think, you know, given just some of Michigan's ups and downs, if this team can come and play with the energy and focus that they had tonight.
And given the schedule coming up, it's one that could be a good one to steal.
Yes, but Michigan is not going to shoot as badly. They've been a very good shooting team so far this year, probably not going to shoot as badly as Maryland did. But yeah, I mean, if you could open up 2-0 in Big Ten play, especially with X hurt, that'd be huge. Okay, so we'll have the postgame show for that. Join us on Monday with Ant Wright. I'll have a watch page up at our Substack. Go to assemblycall.com to find all of that stuff. And, of course, go to visit our friends at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com, promo code HOME23. At checkout, we'll get you 15% off your first order. All right, last call. Ryan, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I just thought it was Indiana did what it needed to do tonight. And you know, you look at it, having watched the game, it's kind of shocking they only scored 65 points. It felt like a much bigger, you know, it felt like an 80 to 67 game or something like that, but they did what they had to do. And I think that Trey Galloway, as we've mentioned many times, was a big part of that, and really it was great to see him step up. I think that was kind of the story of the game. You expect Khalil Ware at this point to do what he did and to do it really well, but Trey Galloway stepping up is huge for Indiana. Mackenzie Mbako looked better. I just think this is building on the Harvard game. This is all trending in the right direction for Indiana, and if you keep trending upwards and you don't fall flat on your face at Michigan, now you can start being excited about what the future holds and what the future of this season holds, especially you're doing it without your senior point guard. So really positive developments tonight, and you would hope that Indiana just continues to build on this. Like you said, even if they don't beat Michigan, if they're in a dogfight to the end and lose, you can say like, hey, they learned something from this. You lose by 20, you're not learning anything from that game except for that you're really struggling. So it's
yeah, Kevin Willard's not taking a lot of positives from this performance.
Exactly. No, not at all. And so, yeah, I would say that this was just another step in the right direction for Indiana. We're still a long way from where they want to be, but it's, again, another positive step in December now that you need to keep making to the start of January when this thing really gets kicked off.
And Maryland under Willard has been so weird. It seems like they have an inordinate
He's
amount
a really
of time,
good
so they
coach.
Just get their doors blown yeah. off on
He's
the road.
He's a really good coach, too. I mean,
no, but they're just so weird on the road.
Yeah, I'll say that if you win at Seton Hall with how awful and impossible it is to win there, given the facilities and all of that, all the lack of money, all of that, you're a good coach. And so just puzzles me what's going on there.
I don't know. All right, Coach, last call.
Yeah, very enjoyable game. Really concerned when you know that X is out and you're only favored by 2. What's going to happen? But Indiana did what they had to do against a team that is similar to Indiana, and they won. And they won convincingly despite only scoring 7 points in the last 11 minutes. So they really hit the skids, and yet it was still somewhat comfortable win. But a lot of good things. I thought the coaching staff had a pretty good game plan. I thought the players responded. That since the Empire Classic, this is a different team. It's a team that still has areas of major concern before we can say they're a tournament team. But the trend, as Ryan said, is headed in the right direction. But it was so fun tonight. It was just fun. Loud. The crowd was in it. A lot of the football vibe, it honestly felt that this university was just jacked up. I heard kids talking about it on the way through the parking lot. And that helps. You know, that helps every sport when you have that. So, fun night. And I look forward to a couple more of them here in Assembly Hall.
Basketball team feeding off the energy from the football program. Boy, it is a new era in Indiana here with Coach Cignetti. And really just, you know, good times for Indiana sports. Soccer team, when do they play Notre Dame? Is that tomorrow? Or they're not playing tonight, are they? I think they play tomorrow in the Elite Eight. So lots of good stuff happening with Indiana sports right now. And just a nice, solid victory. I mean, you know, 12-point win. You open up Big Ten play at 1-0, as Miller Kopp said at the start of the show. I mean, you don't want to start out 0-1. You want to get that first one. So helpful. And just a lot of positive developments tonight from Khalil Wares. You know, Ryan, you said something interesting. You know, we expect this from Khalil Ware. How interesting is that? That 7 games into his IU career with all the expectations in the offseason, we can say that in a Big Ten opener against Julian Reese, we expect him to go 18-14. You know, he's shown us now, he's had 6 good games out of 7 that you can start to count on him. So, you know, need to get X healthy. Obviously, you're going to need more minutes from Malik Renew to win most nights. But this was just an excellent team victory to be able to step up with X out, with Malik not being able to play all of his minutes and go get a convincing Big Ten opener. You know, really, by more than what you expect. And this is the kind of game that helps make up for some of those wins earlier in the season that were closer than you expect. Well, now when you come out and beat a conference foe by more than people expect, that is a really good sign that this team is growing, as we all expected them to do, and allowing everyone to exhale a little bit from how we were feeling a couple weeks ago with how Indiana was looking, even in wins. Tonight is a win that you can really feel good about. And that's a great thing for Indiana basketball. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to assemblycall.com, join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for designing our logo and all our graphics. Thanks to Miller Kopp for being here. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday after the Michigan game. Until then.
Take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Here I come. This is Stunt Sony.
This kind of game is fun.